Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
There's a lot of revelation that's gone forth. I could go back and cap on some of, because some of you wasn't here. But the thing is that we do know that Rachel died when Benjamin come forth. And that's what's happened. The message of the bride is dead. I know that's going to alarm some of you, but it's dead. It's not where the life is. It's the wrong sacrifice. It's going back to the blood. But now the sonship has come in, and the blood atonement does not work in that dimension no more. It's not satisfying. The blood of bulls and goats didn't satisfy him, but took the blood of the Lord Jesus. But we came through that. I'm not doing away with the blood. You could take that and go preach that and say, man, Brother Rob's done away with the blood of Jesus. No, I haven't. I'm telling you what, I stand here because I come through the blood of the Lord Jesus, and he's the door, the way, the truth, and life. There's no other way to enter in. But once I've come through that womb and birthed into the kingdom of God and translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, I've come through that. There's no other way to get in. If you go any other way, you're like a thief and a robber, and you've climbed up another way and you'll be cast down. I came with the wedding garment, brothers and sisters, and I came through that. But the thing is when you get into the spirit, you cannot go back to the blood. The Bible said it's trampling the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ under your feet. It said once you've come to the knowledge of the truth, partaken of that, and tasted of those heavenly things, this is talking about the spiritual birth, it said that you cannot. It said there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. The blood of Jesus no longer atones for that sin. We got Bible for that in Hebrews 6 and 10. And there no more atones for that. And you have one thing to look forward to, the fiery indignation of God. And I've rended the veil of that. The fiery indignation of God to you as the elect of God is the purging fire of the Holy Ghost that comes from the sacred death. Judgment begins in the house of God, and it'll purge those things out of your life. It'll purge them and cleanse them out of your life. That right there, when it's change from a sin. The Bible said some men's sins go before and some after, or we could differentiate it into a trespass and into a sin. And there's a differentiation right there. One would say, well, they're one and the same. The action's one and the same. But then there is, brothers and sisters, a big difference. The Bible said, blessed is the man who God does not impute sin. Well, I can tell you this, the man that's not blessed, it will be imputed as sin. So the thing is there's a lot of veils that we need to rend here. And this is what's alarming, is the people that said under Revelation are preaching Brother Branham doctrine. And the thing is Brother Branham doctrine's word doctrine. It's the word of God. But see, it's easier to see because you could see it. You could talk about the miracles. You could talk about his vindication of all the miracles and things he done. And it's easy to see. But see, you need to get eyes to see into the next dimension and into the next realm. And when you see into that realm, you'll find this peace. And the things I was speaking about, if you would go over into the Old Testament, and I don't know if the Lord allowed me to go over there this morning, but if we went over there and we understand even the concubines and things of these 12 children that he brought forth, if you break those 12 up, you'll see there's a breakdown in there, and some of them had to do with, you know, two different concubines. One was a handmaid to Leah, and one was a handmaid to Rachel. And there was children brought forth in that. But Rachel did bring forth two children, Joseph, and also brought forth Benjamin. And the thing is you say, well, why two? Why didn't she die at the first one? Because, brothers and sisters, he made himself twain, both Lord and Christ. And there's some things that I brought out the other night that come down to that twain of two, you know, which would tear apart some of the Trinitarian doctrine. But then yet again, we do preach triune in the perspective of the Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. Everything we break down into a natural, physical, and spiritual. And like I said, there's too many scriptures when you go to the woman. Number one, when they come and ask Jesus, whose wife will she be in heaven? He said, you know, there's no marriage in heaven. No giving in marriage. Didn't he say that? That's what he told them. He said, you're an heir. Jesus said that. He said, well, it goes to show you don't understand. They're not giving in marriage in heaven. There's no male nor female there. So that takes number one right there, the bride out of heaven right there. That one scripture alone, but there's too many other things. And when you start differentiating body, soul, spirit, natural, physical, spiritual, and you start rending these things, then you'll find also looking in them things. And when you start projecting the feminine thing, you'll find it in two dimensions, the twain. That's the only place you'll find it. You won't be able to differentiate that feminine into three. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. I remember struggling with some things, trying to find it. And I was thinking of a natural death. And then I brought it into the next dimension and was thinking of a sleep. And I said, there's got to be a third. And I struggled and struggled and struggled. And I was with Brother David. And I asked him, I said, man, I'm really struggling. And I said, I can't get this third part put together. And he said, I never thought about it. He was there for just a moment. He looked at me and he spoke the word rest. You see? And it fit. There's a death, there's a sleep, and then there's a rest. And the thing is like ministering that message the other day about rest. And it was an awesome message. So fitting for the time, man. It was so beautiful, man. Really ministered to me. Beautiful message. And there's a rest that we can enter into. I made a statement, it'd be alarming to some, but I said, you know, man, I listened to the man minister message that he's struggling with himself. I've ministered messages and I struggle with myself. Some of the things have just have come forth, man. When that first come out of my mouth, I was preaching on the anointing of God and it came out. And I'm thinking like, wow, I can't believe you said that. You know, it's like, my, what are you going to do with that now, preacher? You know, I turned around and handed the microphone to the preacher behind me. I said, here, it's your turn now, man. I'm letting you have it because I don't know what we're going to do with this. Amen. It was a very, very peculiar way of ministering. Man, had a good time. Was in the rest of the Lord. To be honest, the guns was off. I didn't have guns on me. As a white man ministering in a black church, that was phenomenal to me. You know, I've been around a lot of racial prejudice and different things, man. And the people were there and they received very, very well. Amen. But it has to do with the Jews that have rejected Jesus for all these years and rejected and rejected and rejected. They've rejected him. And the thing is it's right now at the time of their eyes coming open and them receiving their inheritance, which is natural. It goes back to the first dimension. And you know what's going to take place when that happens, brothers and sisters? That's why I'm talking about these separations. The Bible said, let the wheat and the tare grow together. Let them grow together. It says, if you pluck up the tare, you'll get some wheat with it. And we think that as people in a congregation, you know, well, we're going to let this one, if I pluck up this uncle, it's going to get the nephew and the niece, or if I plunk up this brother, it's going to get this, or if I pluck up this wife, it's going to get the husband, and you let them grow together. And there's a revelation in that, and that's the truth. But it also has to do with you. And sometimes we'll see a tare nature laying in you, and we'll start working on it. It's getting dealt with continually, preaching, trying to get that tare nature. You know, if we just went and ripped out the tare, you don't have enough strength, and that weed hasn't really got hold yet, and it's going to take it with it. So we let you grow together. You understand that? And you grow together. And I brought this out in the second dimension. That's where the scriptures are violated in the second dimension. They're really not violated, but in your mind it is. The Bible said, oh, light and darkness can't be together. And I said, yeah, they can. You said, that's a violation of the Word of God. Well, 1 John 1 and 1 John 3 is a violation in your mind. You know, one says, if you say you have not sinned or have no sin, you're a liar. The other one says, if you say you're sin, you're of the devil. If you're born of God, you cannot sin. What are you going to do with that? You have to differentiate it. You have to look at one speaking as a man, another one speaking as a God. And the thing is, when the Bible said light and darkness cannot dwell together, that's speaking in the spiritual realm. It's light and all darkness is gone. It's eradicated out of there. There's no darkness in the spiritual realm. Done. It can't happen. And even when you get into the second heaven, the light comes into the second heaven and it eradicates the darkness and it'll push it away, but there's a twilight of them mixing together. If you tell me light and darkness can't come together, it's not like we're out here in perfect bright daylight and then pow, man, it's all of a sudden pitch black outside. Whoa. It isn't that way. See, there's as that sun setting, there's a twilight realm and there's a lot to do with that. And it's happened. But the twilight realm happens due to second heaven. And yes, there's bitter and sweet there in the second heaven, but not in the first. In the second heaven. In the second heaven, there's the red dragon there waiting to devour the child just as soon as it's born. The child was immediately caught up, but there was a place prepared for the woman. Brothers and sisters, there's bitterness in the second heaven. And there's sweet there also. You see, the second heaven having to do with the wilderness. They saw the miracles of God. They saw the manna raining down. They saw the God parting the sea. They saw their clothes not wearing out. Man, that was beautiful things. The water coming forth to sustain life. For 40 years, that's awesome. But see, that wasn't what God had in store for them. And this is what happens. People get in the second heaven, and they get to have a little bit of their own world too. Their flesh and their ambitions of the flesh, their prestige, their pride of life, you know, their masculinity, their toughness, and they got all these things and spirits that they can control and push around. And they like that realm. But then yet they've partakered of the things of blessings of God because the Bible said he'll pour his spirit out upon all flesh. All flesh. So they're in the reign of God, and they're partaking of the rain, and they like that, you know. But you see, the tares partaking of the rain, tares darkness is partaking of the rain of God. So the thing is to see the latter rain is different. It's in the spirit. And they're not partaking of that. Only them that are spiritual. This happens to do with even when I was speaking about that seed. You know, see, the seed that we're sowing is in the spirit. That's the eternal one. Even though we see the things here. The difference, brothers and sisters, is we could obtain blessings on this side. That doesn't make us anything, nothing at all. I mean, people do that without God, don't know God. Man, they build great kingdoms in this world. But it's the spiritual things that we need to be concerned about. But the thing is when we're building spiritual kingdoms and putting things away in spiritual places, it's raining down, and we're going to see it on this side also. It's part of the manifestation of it. It's got to be. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all those things shall be added unto you. And I brought out a message not long back about that very thing. I said, you know, we got to be careful how we look, you know, because sometimes we'll see the blessings on this side and say, well, this is an overflowing of rain, and when it may not be, it may not be whatsoever at all. I can't say every man that owns a big skyscraper with his name on me, man, there's the blessings of God. Look, they sprung up there. No, it's something as the Tower of Babel trying to build himself up another way into the kingdom of God. And it'll be the thing to testify against them. So there's so many little veils that we got to learn to differentiate and learn to take and look and see exactly what God is doing and how he's moving in our midst. I want you to turn with me to Hebrews this morning, just talking with you. Everything's in order, brothers and sisters. Everything's fine. Just enter into that rest. We've got to enter into a rest. But I want you to go to Hebrews 12, and I want you to go over to the... I'm going to start the first verse. I was going to go over to verse 12, but just read with me. Don't try to jump ahead and see where maybe I think I'm going, because I'm not sure. Just stay with me and gather in with me in one mind, if he can minister to us this morning. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. We've done that this morning, I hope. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. See, that's where the warfare is at, in the travail. Our weapons are not of this world. They're not carnal. Amen. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked at him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and lived, differentiating two worlds? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You remember, I'm going to stop right there, and we're going to go on in just a minute. But I brought this out in a message years ago. Some of you remember, way over there on Fairfield. And I said, you know, you could be innocent, standing there, just innocent as could be. And we'll say brother, okay, just for expression's sake. Walks up and slams you right in the nose, and you do two cartwheels backwards, knocked, slap, unconscious, fall on the ground. You as innocent as could be, done nothing. You pull yourself up off the ground. After you come to, that other man's right there, and he helps you up, and he said, man, I'm sorry, brother. I got a devil on me, man. I'm sorry. God have mercy on me. Now, I'm going to tell you, that man had done that, he'll pay a price for that. The Bible teaches very clear that he'll pay a price for that. And there's a reward for all of his labors, and his labors were wrong, and he'll be rewarded. The chastening of God will come to that man. There's no doubt about it. But now let's talk about the one that was innocent and done nothing. Now all of a sudden he's got bitterness in his heart. Despises that man. Hates that man. And lets that root of bitterness that we're speaking about there rise up within him. Oh, he was innocent. He's not innocent no more. He let a spirit of bitterness defile him. And that spirit of bitterness that has defiled him will cause him to be separated from God and could cause the man to lose his soul. And you say, well, that's not fair. He was innocent. No, the Lord suffers all things for his good. And that man needed to deal. There was evidently already bitterness laying down in there. And it was something dealing with it. He had come to surface that he could deal with that thing and conquer it and kill it and put it away. You say, it just don't seem fair. It didn't seem too fair when Jesus went to the cross for you, neither did it. And he did that for you. But brothers and sisters, we have to come into the same mind and endure chastening. We've got to endure hardships. We've got to endure reproof. We've got to endure the chastening of a living God. And the thing is we have to learn that God's ways aren't your ways. I say it all the time. You see, you think, man, this awesome God. So they're saying, Moses, go free the people. Man, there's our God, man, a deliverer. But your same God was hardening Pharaoh's heart at the very same same moment. Over here talking to Moses, go free me. He's over here hardening Pharaoh's heart. Boy, what an awesome God we're serving. But he has his way in the good and the evil. We got to learn to understand that. It was the preparation of God that that man punched the other one out, that he done the cartwheels and flipped over backwards. You say, no way. Maybe you'll come to revelation and understand that. The evil in that man, it was the devil that that man gave place to, but the Lord allowed it. All the things that happened to Job, the Lord allowed it, didn't he? God seemed so wretched, man. He lost his wife. He lost all of his riches and all of his finances. He lost everything he had and was struck down to nothing. God gave it all back, didn't he? Every bit of it, and gave it back and multiplied it even greater. You see, he had to come to a place to understand God. I've been there. God's struck me down, lost everything. I remember when I went and bought a $50 car at an auction. I thought, man, God, you're so awesome. That car meant more to me than some of the $30,000 cars that I drove. A $50 car, how would it mean more? Because God gave it. You mean God didn't give the other? No, it was the abundance raining down from heaven. But you see, that was got by faith. You see, and I had to start out. God said, or Brother Pike said to me, he said, Brother Rom, he said, the Lord stripped you down. And he said, he's going to raise you back up. And he said, he's going to add an increase. And he said, he'll restore an even greater. Will the restoration be? So the thing is, you know, it's sometimes hard to receive the words like that when you see Satan coming against you and tearing down and everything. But you know, it's the word of the Lord. Amen. Verse 15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessings, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come, if you went back and understood the story of Esau, I know many of you know it, but you got to think of Jacob and Esau. And you think of there's a twain right there, both coming forth from the same womb. So in a very beautiful revelation, and I brought it on down and was even speaking about Reuben there being from the other. And the thing is there's a birthing, brothers and sisters, and you say, well, this come from this same individual, but which one inherited and which one was thy seed after? That's what we've got to understand. And if there's a great inheritance, brothers and sisters, taking the things of God, the understandings of God, is going to bring you an inheritance on this side. I'm telling you, if there was no eternal life and you walk by the principles of God and disciplined yourself enough to walk by according to this word, you will be blessed mightily on this side. And you will have a bountiful harvest on this side, but that has nothing to do with the other. You see, there's a way to walk into things now, and there's a way to be planting in the other dimension altogether and going into it and reaping from the spiritual world. That's what we're coming down to, brothers and sisters. There has to be a transformation made over. We got to start finding out that the things that we do are not for ourselves. The things that Jesus done wasn't for himself. He was God before he ever personified himself in a body of man. He was God, had everything that pertained unto life. He wasn't seeking after riches, anything. He owned everything, and all things were his. He was the king of everything, the Lord of everything, the God of everything, spoke everything into existence, everything that was natural, everything that was physical, everything that was spiritual, everything that was invisible, everything that was invisible. All thrones, all dominions, all powers, everything was created by him. Everything. And the thing is we're going to have to start rending that veil and make sure that we make that next transition over. Don't be caught away in the wilderness thinking that you've received the inheritance that God has for you. Don't receive your inheritance in the second heaven or in the wilderness. Don't do it. And I'll tell you, there's beautiful things taking place in the physical realm in the second heaven. Things that you see with your eyes. Beautiful things taking place there. You see, there is a transformation that takes place there in that mind. And when that mind's transformed over enough, and it has totally rejected the outer garment of iniquity, the fallen image, and it's rejected that and lets the glory of the Lord manifest within this man, the light being formed within the darkness, and let it walk in that. You see, it'll be the exact same thing as the sons of God. That's what it is. But it's manifesting in something that's appearing. It's faith manifested. But there will be a day. You think, man, that's so beautiful. You see, that's a beautiful thing, but there's going to be a day that that is done away with. It's going to dissolve. It's going to go away. When that light will consume it. Said, the heavens and the earth shall pass away, but his word abideth forever. But then yet, the heavens and the earth are eternal. But then how come the Bible said it passes away? It'll pass away in the form that you know it now. This is the manifestation right here. We are the manifestation of the sons of God. The world doesn't see it. They're yearning for that. But that's still what we are. And when we do appear to them, the Bible does teach very clearly that we always were, you see. But they didn't appear to them. They didn't see it. It wasn't that we're not. But you see, then we will go through that transfiguration and this bodily part, the vanity part, the outer garment of iniquity, when it is transfigured back. It's already the redeemed. But when it's transfigured and goes through that metamorphosis, and then it comes to them as spirit flesh, then they'll say, wow, it was there all the time. That's what's going to happen with Jesus when he goes back to the Jew. He's going to appear there before him, and he's going to have the nail prints in his hands, just as they are fresh, the Bible says. And they're going to think, wow. He said, I was always with you. You're the ones that done this. I got these in the house of my friends. There's people that have crucified us in this present day and hour that they're going to see that same blood and the nail prints. And they're going to realize that they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ afresh in this day and hour and trampled his blood under their feet. You see, there's no difference. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, the ones that physically were right there and drove the nails right there through the hands of the Lord Jesus, it's happening today, the same thing. And God's having his way in it today the same way. This is how God shows himself. And this is why we rejoice in persecution and tribulation. This is why we rejoice in it, because we know it has to do the same thing. See, the disciples entered into that rest that were walking with Jesus when they ran out of the jailhouse saying, man, we're going to be beaten for his name's sake. Hallelujah. They were rejoicing because they knew God had been found in them. You see, and the thing is this is where you've got to learn to come. When these things appear to be coming against you and everything, you just rejoice in the Lord and say, hallelujah, now. You see, if Andy Beachy says, Brother Rob, I love you. And I say, Andy, I love you. What is that? We've done nothing. It's easy for me to tell Brother Ed I love him, and it's easy for Ed, but we've done nothing. But it's when you tell your enemy, brothers and sisters, I love you. When you do good to them, despitefully use you. See, now you're stepping into another realm altogether. You see, you're stepping in another realm. And when things are coming against us, and all these things are coming against us, you got to say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I appreciate the tribulation, Lord, and the things for we could show forth your life. You're not going to show it forth when everything's going fine and everything's happening your way and all the things just seem so great and so good. You're not going to show Christ in that. It's not going to happen that way. It's like I told you, the friend of mine over in Oklahoma calls me up and he said, you know, Brother Rob, man, he said, he's up in his 70s and he's got that Parkinson disease and he's shaking. And he said, I go to church and people are questioning me. Say, where's your faith at? You know, where's this God? But see, they saw the man in his blessings, his business. He had business. He was a businessman. You know, his children watched him keep himself pure and clean, out of the world and good. And they saw all this stuff, but they never saw Christ in his life and the suffering. And I said, man, God has allowed this, brother, that they could see the suffering of Christ in your life and let you magnify God. And I said, this will win your lost children to the Lord, because his children are lost. Many of his children are outside. And I said, when they see this in your life and you don't turn and curse your God, they're going to know your God's real. I was witnessing to a builder, witnessing and witnessing, tell him about God and needing to be saved and need to be born again and stuff. And he's like, yeah, and he just went on. And one day, the big guy walked through the door. It was about 6 foot, probably five. I mean, he filled the door frame, and a big old guy, big old wide-shouldered guy, man. And he come in the door, and this builder, I told him I'd be working with him, and I'd say, man, you're sure a nice guy. I really like you and everything, but it's a shame you're going to burn in hell because you don't know Jesus. That's the way I dealt with the guy. And he said, man, Rob, don't tell me that, man. He said, I don't want to hear that. And I said, no, I'm telling you, I love you, man, and that's the truth. You're really one of the nicest guys. It was a really nice builder. I liked him. And I said, but you know, it's really sad, man, that you're going to find yourself in hell because you don't know Jesus. I'd talk to him and share some things with him. This went on for, you know, weeks or months, maybe we could say. Done a lot of work for this man. But I'm talking about tribulation. Sometimes bring forth a birth, travail. Guy walked up the door, this big guy. The builder said, hey, Rob, let me ask you a question. He said, if I'm all lost on my way to hell without Jesus, what about this guy? And he pointed right at him. You know, what do you say? You know, you cower down? Oh, man, yeah. What do? So I just turned around and I walked right over to the guy, and the guy's standing in the door and he's got these big toolboxes in his hands. And I said, you know, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And he said, no, looking right down at me. And I said, you're lost on your way to hell. He dropped them toolboxes. I mean, they hit the ground. Pow! And he come over the top of me with his finger and put it right on my nose. And he said, Jesus is the new boy on the block. And boy, he started screaming at me. And I looked him right back in the eye and I said, let me tell you. And he started talking about Buddha. And I said, your God rotted in his grave with syphilis. And I said, my Savior, my God's tomb is empty. And you must be born again to inherit the kingdom of God. And what happened? The man reached down, he picked up them toolboxes and turned around, never said another word, went and got in his truck, and he drove off. And that other builder there, the tribulation, brothers and sisters, he saw something in the tribulation. He thought this guy's going to rip my head off. Another guy that I'd led to the Lord that worked for me. I glanced over this way and he had two hands on the wall and he's peeking around the corner and said, man, what has this guy got himself into now? He was peeking around the corner. You remember that little guy with his little nose hanging over the brick wall? Man, this guy was peeking around the corner saying, man, I don't know this guy. But the thing is I led that builder to the Lord. Followed me out to my truck after a while, led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. He started going to a church over not too many miles away from where we lived out there. Had no more contact with him. But you see, brothers and sisters, God has his way sometimes in those kind of things. I'm not telling you have to go out there and put a sword in everybody and tell them they're going to hell to show the love of God. But that's the way God worked with that man. And I've seen him do it that way many, many times. Let's read on just a little bit more. I'm just talking with you a little bit this morning. Let's just read 18 again. For you're not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness or darkness and tempest. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the words should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Have you ever been there? I have. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not who refused him that spake on the earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. I hope you understand that. I'm going to pray God will grant that to you as a revelation. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. You know, the things that remain are not of this world. A man told me about little Bethlehem. He came to me and he said, you know, the Lord showed me. That's why Brother George built this place with the big concrete and all the big things, because it will be one of the only places that will be kept in the tribulation and won't be the only places. Well, see, that violates the word of God in the scriptures. Brother Pike built those things as allegories to show the foundations that he was putting in us as men. Those things were allegoric to we, you see, but they're looking at the wrong buildings. And the thing is I'm telling you, it's different than that. If the Bible says that there won't be one stone standing upon another one, it says exactly what it means. And everything is going to be shaken, brothers and sisters. And there will be nothing that remain in that covenant. Nothing. Those things, buildings were given by God. This building was given by God. But this is in another dimension of the Spirit altogether. It isn't these buildings that he's concerned with. It isn't the concrete and the stone. Even though we have to be concerned, these are the things of God. These things need to be precious in our sight. We need to take care of the buildings at home or little Bethlehem. We need to take care of the things here. We need to honor those things. These are the Lord's. We first most ought to honor this temple and tabernacle to the thing of bringing this thing into the manifestation of the sons of God. But you see, brothers and sisters, this doesn't remain either. You understand that? And the thing is even when you come and see the kingdom established on earth, going back to the natural Jew, see, there's going to be a change up of that. After that 1,000 years, see, that's just a reformed type earth, for lack of expression. It will snap up on its axis and it'll seem right, but that's not the end of the matter. When you snap up right on your axis, knowing that you have stepped into the righteousness of God and you're walking in the Spirit of God, you see, this is when you've been fallen in the Adamic nature and you come to recognize Jesus Christ, he'll pull you up into his righteousness and he'll make you perfect. Amen. And that brings you upright and you'll see the manifestation of God in the earth. You'll see the love. You'll see the provisions and the blessings all manifest. And then you think, man, there it is. That's the sons of God. And I say, yeah, but that's not the end of the matter. Brothers and sisters, this thing will go through that transfiguration. It'll go through a change. That's what it's looking for. You see, even though Leah brought forth seed. You understand that? Even though that she brought forth seed, but that's not what it was looking for. There was another that had to come. You see, and then when we come over and we talk about the serpent seed and the elect seed and different things, when this teaching come in here not too long back about, you know, Jesus having a relationship, it violated everything that he came to show that we could see beyond the veil. It violates it. It's absolutely a violation if you get in the spirit. You look at it as a man in the physical realm, it's okay. The marriage bed's undefiled on all of its ways. If he would have married, praise God. Hey, in this dimension, it's fine. Bishop being the husband to one wife. Man, it would have been fine. Nothing wrong with it. It wouldn't have violated him in the fact of walking and fulfilling this physical realm dimension. But see, he didn't come that way. He didn't come by the blood seed of man. He came by the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost, and that seed, the same one that remained in him, remains in us. And by that particular thing taking place, you understand? And he showed the next covenant. And in his death, he showed the death of the testator. It had to be, or it had been no effect. So when he done that, the next covenant came in. That was the great bloodbath. And it's the spirit covenant now. And this is what we're witnessing now, brothers and sisters. Even though that thing 2,000 years ago was introduced right there, the fulfilling of it, brothers, is the transfiguration to this body. But we already are the sons of God. But the world won't see it in this body. We'll go through that change. But if we don't change it through the transformation of mind and thought, you'll never see the transfiguration because it foreruns that. Jesus appeared on the Mount Transfiguration before the resurrection. You understand what I'm saying? He brought that thing to outshine the noonday sun while he walked as the Son of Man. And that glory of God come forth and showed forth. And that's what you must do. You must bring the brightness and the fullness of his coming and bring that sevenfold light of the seven church ages into right now and bring this thing into a fullness and understanding it. And we don't come against Brother William's random message to do that. We don't come against the first dimension to do away or the second dimension to bring the third one in. And this is what people are doing, and it's wrong. The thing is I was fellowshipping with, like I said, we got to use wisdom for this reason, is because there's so many people talking Brother Branham, Brother Branham, Brother Branham, and it's got people going back to that and locking in that, and that's where the air's at. We can't go back to that. We cannot go back to that. We don't reject it. We don't say it's wrong. It was right on. It was the message of the hour, and it was seen through the eyes of the bride. And that's why as people are still talking about one day we're going to rapture because we'll recognize who we are, and they're still running on that, and it's error. It's wrong because it's already happened. It's already fulfilled. It's already done. It's already finished. It's already completed. They don't see it. The rapture's already taken place. The catching up's already done. It's happened. There's nothing to look forward to. We are now the sons of God. I know that this body will change and they'll see us of what I'm saying, but I'm telling you, it's already happened. I'm not looking for Jesus to come. He's already come. I'm not waiting for him. He's already here. I'm not looking for his kingdom. I am the kingdom. Kingdom dwells within me. You understand that? I've entered into a rest. I'm not struggling with death. I've passed from death unto life. I'm not struggling in weakness because I was weak and now I've been made strong. See, it has nothing to do with what you're looking at and seeing. You can say, boy, you're thinking too highly of yourself. Let me take this gun and put it in your face and see if you've got all this thing. I don't fear that. I fear the one that can take my soul. I mean, brothers and sisters, I've entered into a rest. You know, and we got to enter into that rest, and there's things that happen in our midst and around about us to help us to see and enter into that rest. There's a travail for the child to be born, and there has to be a travail. So the thing is there's going to be these things around that you could travail to bring forth the Christ. Amen. And if it ain't coming forth now, it will not come forth. I'm telling you, we're right there. And this bright age, you know, brothers and sisters, has to do with the churches. It has to do with the churches. And this bright age is rolling up to an end. And the thing is that there's a death to it. And when the death to that, she is the light in the world right now. And when she goes forth and is pulled out, that's when the tribulation comes in. And that's when gross darkness infiltrates, which we see it happening. There's a transition, change over to that. So the thing is, there is a change over. You say, well, what about this new Jerusalem ascended down as a bride adorned? Brothers and sisters, what does that have to do with? Well, you got to differentiate it in a dimensional perspective. You understand that? You got to see it. There will absolutely be that very thing of the new Jerusalem. The people that will stand upon this earth will see that, and it'll take place and it'll happen. But brothers and sisters, it's just like people are out there looking for the ark. Brother Pike said, I found it a long time ago. I know where it's at. He said it's here in little Bethlehem. He spoke things in a veil. But you know, people out there digging around for an ark, and people, they're natural, they're carnal, they can't accept the invisible world of God. They're looking for something. The whole Pentecostal church world is running after a miracle. He said, I'm afraid of you when you're looking for a sign. Oh, I want to hear you speak in tongues, for I know you got the Holy Ghost. Oh, I want to see the miracles of God to vindicate of who you are. You see, I don't need to see miracles that you see, people getting out of wheelchairs and the blind eyes to vindicate God. The Bible said we know the voice when we hear it speak. That's all we need, brothers and sisters, is to hear that still small voice and know that it's God. You might hear it through the mouth of a babe and a suckling. You might hear it through the prophet or through the minister or through whatever. You see, people are still too carried away in all those things. So the fivefold ministry was brought forth, the apostle, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Yes, those gifts are still in there, but they will be pulled away. All of those things are relative to that bride realm. Amen. But when you're walking in sonship, see, I don't need healing as a son of God because there's no sickness and no death. I don't need prophecy because those things will cease because all things become perfect. I already know who I am and the mysteries of God have been unveiled to me. I don't need tongues and interpretation of tongues because those are for the unbelievers anyway. I hear him speaking clearly. I don't see through the glass darkly no longer. You see, I don't need those things. Oh, your body might. Well, now you've switched gears on me. You're in another dimension altogether. Yes, if some physical infirmity come to my body, I got to call forth from the things of the invisible realm and bring them into a manifestation here. But still, that has nothing to do with the spiritual realm that I'm speaking about. All things appear. All things are perfect. There's no sin there. I pass from death unto life. I got all authority, all power has been given unto me. Oh, you can't say that. I'm the Son of God. You can't say that because you haven't partaken of it. I can say that because I've seen it and partaken of it. You see? The Bible said the ministers are the avengers of God. What does that mean? He said that he'll give us the power to forgive and to remit sin and to curse. Oh, come on. Jesus didn't come to curse. I know he came in the image of the curse and he took the curse upon himself. You see, that was a different dimension altogether. And you say, well, you always talk about we have to bring forth that fruit in our life. And I said, yeah, that's the swearing to hurt and suffering the wrong and knowing who we are. And we do that. And we do that very thing. We're lifted up on the cross on a daily basis, just like Jesus was. He said, let you be lifted up, draw all men unto him, not you. So we're lifted up on a cross and crucified all the day long. But see, that's another dimension. You see, Jesus fulfilled and finished that dimension, and we are still walking in that same dimension. You understand what I'm saying? We are still walking in that same thing. There's no difference. He said, the same spirit that dwelled in him will dwell in us. I brought this out the other night. And this isn't hard to understand. He said, greater things will you do than even what Jesus done. Now listen to me. I'm going to use Brother Pike as an example. I could use myself as an example and say the same thing, but I'm not going to do that. Maybe it'd be easier for you to receive it if I say Brother George. Brother George done greater miracles than Jesus himself did. Can you understand that? You say, man, you need to be careful how you talk. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. It said, ye will do things. I was going to say I've done greater things than Jesus has done, but I know you'd really draw back on that, but I could say that. You see, Brother George, I could say done greater things than William Branham ever did, but oh, William Branham. And a man, he raised up the dead, man, and he done this. And we know Brother George done many of those things. But William Branham, man, he was vindicated. Brother George never was. You see, brothers and sisters, the people of the world are not moved by the things that happened in Brother Pike's ministry. I spoke up a men's meeting the other day, and they were talking about the different, you know, about how these things in Brother Branham this and Brother Branham that. And I said, well, folks, I'm sorry you didn't see it, but when I came here, I was blind. I was lame. But see, they don't see that. They'll see it when the guy has the white stick, and they'll see it when the guy's rolled in a wheelchair, and they'll see it when they get out of the hospital bed. You know, they'll see that. Oh, man, praise God, God's alive. Who cares about a guy getting out of a wheelchair? He'd go right back out in the world and sin against God and go to hell. Oh, the guy had blinded eyes. He gets his eyesight now, and he goes right back off out in the world, and he lusts upon woman and stuff, commit adultery in his heart and go to hell. Boy, you've done something great. Boy, you're such an awesome preacher. You'd have been better off to leave the man blind in his suffering that he could find God. He that suffer in the flesh cease from sin, and a man in the suffering of blindness could find God and cease from sin and make it in. But oh man, you know, we ain't done nothing unless you see his eyes opened up, you know. But see, there was another dimension altogether being fulfilled at little Bethlehem that was going forth. And he was teaching us and indoctrinating us about a third heaven. And Jesus did the same thing. He said, my kingdom's not of this world. They couldn't accept that. They wanted him to come with the sword, and they wanted him to come and run the Roman Empire out of their country and wanted him to lead and take that land. That's what they were looking for. But see, he said, my kingdom's not of this world. The weapons of my warfare are not carnal. You see? And he said, I'm afraid of you when you're looking for signs. The whole Pentecostal church, well, you know, you got to speak in tongues to have the Holy Ghost. I've seen a lot of tongue-talking people didn't have the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Ghost that came down, and it was that rain, and yes, they spoke in tongues, you know, but that doesn't vindicate having the Holy Ghost. Healing doesn't vindicate the power of God. Eyes coming open, getting out of wheelchairs doesn't vindicate the power of God. It is the power of God, but it doesn't vindicate the man. I prophesied in your name. I cast out devils in your name. He said, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Oh, but that's a Son of God, man. Look at the great things happening in him. And that doesn't have anything to do with it. It has to do with that mercy of God and the reign of God on the just and the unjust. We need to be careful when we listen to these kind of things, and we need to be careful and take heed to the things that we hear, take heed to the things that we see, lest at any time we let them slip. But brothers and sisters, there's another world. Brother Pike lived in it. He would say things to a brotherhood. Brother Richard could remember the night that a man came in and come against Brother Pike and called him a liar and saying those things. We as the brethren picked him up physically. You remember Brother Richard? And took him out through a double glass glass doors like that about 11:30 at night and put him out the door. The hour was coming late, close to the midnight. Brother George, man, dropped his head with tears, and he said, "Brethren, you don't know what you've just done. You've cast the man into outer darkness." And he said the dart strike through the liver, and the man died with liver cancer just a few months later. You see, Brother George wasn't watching what we'd done physically. He was watching it by the Spirit. He spoke it by the Spirit. It manifested and came to pass. The man died. But see, Brother George saw the death before. See, it took place right there in the Spirit. I've been in church services where the Lord said, "You must preach this," and I warred with it. I didn't want to. And he said, "You've got to preach this. You've got to preach this, or you'll have their blood on the hands." And I've ministered and ministered and ministered, and I'm watching them thinking, "God, please let them hear. Please let them hear." And it come to a point they didn't hear, but God said, "You're clear." But I was also preaching for my own sake, because I'd have their blood on my hands. And I had to go until Lord cleared it with me and said, "Okay, that's it. That's enough. You said enough." I found a peace and a rest. God utilized this life to say what he wanted to say, but I still had a fear for the other, because I knew they wasn't hearing what God was saying. You understand that? So, brothers and sisters, let's take heed to the things that we hear, lest at any time we let them slip. "And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." You know, this reading these things is amazing me. I opened up earlier, and I read back there, I read the 12th verse of Hebrews, and I did not know these other things were here. I'm not enough of a Bible scholar to know where we was going, but I'm telling you, if this isn't the Lord just speaking right here through his written word of what's exactly what's happening, brothers and sisters, I tell you, I fear before the Lord. Verse 27 again, it says, "And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and a godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." And the thing is, this morning you are entertaining angels as unawares this morning, because the angel of the Lord has visited you this morning. Amen. And I pray that you could see beyond the veil of the flesh, of human flesh, of the darkness, and find that the world of light has emanated and shined forth this morning, that you could take heed to the things that you hear, lest at any time you'd let these things slip from you. Amen. There's some people that are real heavy in my spirit and on my heart this morning, brothers and sisters, and some of them aren't here. Overconfidence. I got some people in my midst right now that are so overconfident in who they think they are and where they think they're at with God, that they're in danger, in a very dangerous place this morning. You see, there should be a confidence, brothers and sisters, in your heart, knowing who you are in Christ. But when you think you know who you are because of some kind of a head knowledge, or because of some kind of teaching, or because you've exercised your human wisdom and the way you deal with people or talk to people, and you look to that for trust, that's the scary part. It truly is. And sometimes, you know, we have to go by fire, come in by fire. And I believe that many of these religious people of America, that is the way that they'll make it in. They'll pay with their own blood, and they'll receive the inheritance with the natural Jew, an earthly inheritance, and they won't be partakers of the thing as the elect. There's a difference between Rachel and Leah. There's a difference in these two. And this is what I'm speaking about. And you could say, well, it's going back over there to Leah. But see, that wasn't the spiritual elect. It was the natural. And it was the other that he was seeking after, the spiritual bride. Press in. You can't make this happen. It's predestined before the world ever was, but the Bible said, make your calling and your election sure. And there should be a peace and a rest within you. If it's not there, I say pursue it and seek after it until you find it, because you're going to have to enter into a rest, or otherwise you'll be shaken, and you'll be a part that's shaken loose. Hang on. This is no way to purchase this. When they saw these miracles going forth in Acts, they went to him and said, "Man, can I purchase this? Please let me purchase it." And the man was cursed. Can't buy it. It's got to be granted. You can't hear and try to listen and hear and hear and hear and hear and just try and try and try to listen and hear and hear to come to the revelation I'm speaking about. It's something that's granted. Pray that God would grant unto you. The things that I'm speaking about, the Bible said, have to be spiritually discerned. And if you find something rejecting the words that are coming forth this morning, just remember one thing. Thus saith the Lord, you rejected God. You've rejected Jesus Christ, just the same as the religious realm did, Sanhedrin, when he was there speaking. So if you're looking back at it and say, well, I'm looking at it from Brother Branham perspective, or Brother George Pike perspective, or this and that, you've missed it. You see, Brother George was a messenger messenger of God bringing forth a revelation, and you've got to be one with the revelation. You could have sat under him and the things he said were a curse, not a blessing. Or you could have sat under him and the things were a blessing because they've come to light to you. So the thing is the word is bringing forth the seed of the word. And either it's going to come forth as a fruit, as unto Rachel, or a fruit as unto Leah. And the thing is you need to ponder on that and think about it, what the fruit is. Amen. So the fruit of a womb is offspring. When you think of the 12 tribes of Israel, and you look at that and you say, that's the foundation of all things. That's why I say we can't remove what Brother Branham said. It's a foundation to bring forth the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when people are coming against that, they need to be careful because there's no place to come against it. We don't come against John the Baptist or his baptism at Fort Rome. And the thing is the law and the prophets were unto John. And again, Brother Branham showed John in the perspective as a forerunner, and he was the last prophet. So they're right in that when they talk about him being this last prophet. You know, that's all wonderful and great, and those are dimensions to that age and things, but man, we're much greater than that, brothers and sisters. Now we are the sons of God. Amen. Let's stand together. I love y'all and appreciate you. Hope you don't mind me just talking with you a little bit. Some wonderful, wonderful things over the last few days have come forth in the mind of God. Nothing to do with me has to do with him. Nothing to do with my understanding has to do with his understanding. Nothing to do with man's mind and study of the scriptures has to do with the mind of the Spirit and the mind of revelation. Pray that God would grant it to you and open up your eyes, your understanding, that you could see good when good comes. I appreciate y'all and love you. Amen. Trust the Lord. Let him have his way.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Green Oak Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.